Welcome to Catholic 24/7 in Half the Time. On this podcast, you'll hear insights on living as a Catholic in our ordinary lives. Here's the host of Catholic 24/7 in Half the Time, Allison Gingras.
On today's show, envy, the sin most of us don't know we do, or recognize the joy that it steals. Now let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we ask you to open up our hearts and our minds to whatever it is you have for us this day. We ask you to always be with us, to be working in our heart. Let the Holy Spirit lead us in all that we say and do. We ask this through your Son's most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this weekend, I was at the Defending the Faith Conference in Steubenville, Ohio. Talk about creating community. It is always so great to get out of my daily, I don't want to say rut, because that just sounds awful, but I think anybody who has a routine in their life knows at some point that routine turns into a rut. It is wonderful to get away and to spend time with other Catholics. I came home and said that I was on a Catholic hangover. I was completely intoxicated by all the Catholicism around me, the speakers, the people that I was meeting from literally all over the world, being able to do nothing else for the whole weekend but think about God and how amazing He is and the sacraments and scripture and all those things that I love so much, which I try to incorporate into my everyday life, but also included in my everyday life is laundry and dishes, which everyone in my family just went, "No, sir, you don't do dishes," but I have to look at them, right? So let's get back to the Defending the Faith Conference I was speaking about. I went to this weekend at Steubenville, Ohio, Franciscan University out there. I went with three of my friends, which is always a fun adventure. I love getting away with my friends. I love getting to spend time just praying and being in communion with other Catholics. Able to get in my spiritual trifecta on Saturday. What's a spiritual trifecta, you ask? That's a great question. This is Allison's idea of what it means to be able to in one day receive communion through the Holy Mass, to go to adoration, which we did that evening, and to receive reconciliation. I call that the spiritual trifecta. There is no greater grace on earth than being able to do those three sacraments two sacraments because they're both the Eucharist, but in one day to be able to go to Mass, to be able to spend time in adoration, just adoring the Lord in the Eucharist and the Blessed Sacrament, and to go to reconciliation. One thing I always liked about conferences, the same thing happened last week, the week before that, at Steubenville East, which was here in University of Rhode Island. When you see people inspired by the Holy Spirit to come to reconciliation and to receive forgiveness, and they are lined up, they're willing to wait for an hour more, hour and a half, 2 hours, in order to receive God's forgiveness. That is amazing to watch. That just shows that they understand the power that comes in that sacrament, the beauty and the power and the grace. You know, we need grace, that undeserved yet freely given gift of God's Holy Spirit within us. We need that gift to live a holier life, to answer yes to God's call, just to guide and direct us. And anytime I can get a hold of some of that extra grace, it's abundant. You know, Our Lady, that image of the mediatrix of grace, where she's got her hands extended and there's rays coming from the fingertips, and in between them is that darkness. And she says, you know, those represent all the graces God has that nobody asked for. Let's not leave those graces unused. I don't know about you, but I can use all the extra grace I can get. So let's ask God for that grace, and let's take advantage of that grace through scripture, through prayer, and most importantly, through the sacraments. You know, got into great seats, settled ourselves in, and I thought, Lord, I don't even know what message you have for me this weekend. Like, what is it on my heart that I need answered? We go to these things. You know that God's not going to leave us empty. Like, if He's brought us to something, He has something for us. And I had no idea what that was going to be. And I have a couple ideas of things that are going on in my heart, in my life, that obviously could use God's loving touch upon and the grace poured into, but I didn't know exactly what it was. until Jeff Cavins, C-A-V-I-N-S. If you don't know who that is, Google him, look him up, get his, if you have Lighthouse Media CDs at the back of your church, grab the Jeff Cavins stuff. Phenomenal speaker, very gifted and talented speaker and writer. And he starts to talk about envy. And I thought, well, I've got jealousy. You know, everyone's got a little jealousy, but envy, that's one of the deadly sins. I'm sure I'm not doing that one. I couldn't possibly have that one. I have other ones. Like, you can look at me and know I have some gluttonous issues, but maybe some sloth issues, but envy? No, I'm good with that. I'm jealous, but I'm not envious. So I thought. It begins by defining the difference between jealousy and envy. Jealousy is that, oh, I want what you have. And that can slip into a sinful way when you're, I want it so badly that I don't, you can really covet it and want it. But the difference between jealousy and envy is not that I want what you have, but you can have it too. It's, I don't want you to have it. And the very thought that you have it makes me sad. That's envious. And the minute he finished that definition, I realized, oh no, that is me. It's not that I don't want you to have it, which is another part of the envy, but there is definitely a sadness in my heart that you have it and I don't. And there's a couple of areas that happens in. For me, it's in my career, it's in ministry. It's when I see other Catholic ministers or people in the, you know, working for the church, getting things like book deals or headlining or, you know, being a keynote at something. And I realize that my heart, my initial reaction is, oh, why wasn't that me? But it's that sadness that grips my heart that I needed grace on. There's where I needed healing. Because I love these people. Most of them I know either through cyberspace, we have great cyber relationships, or I've met them in person. And I know how hard they're working for God. I know how much they love God. This was a subconscious, deep-seated feeling that I needed God in this moment to uproot. You know, many of our sins have deep roots. If you think, you know, visualize in your head how deep roots can go and how they can infiltrate other things. If you've had a tree near a house, you know that not only needs to be taken down, but then you need to go in and you need to go in there and excavate. I think that's how you say that. Those roots and get them out because they could really damage the foundation of your home. Well, friends, look at envy. No, let's look at envy in the same way. The roots of whatever's causing you to be envious, those can really damage your soul. Those can damage your relationship with God and your relationship with others. And as Jeff spoke, I realized this is why God had sent me here. And this is what I needed to be working on. I didn't realize how deep my envy had gotten. The other area is in people who are able to start diets and stay on them, or to start exercise routines and stay on them. You know, I see somebody who has been heavy like myself and has lost weight. I get so like sad that they were able to do it. And that's awful that I'm not happy for them. I mean, eventually I come to that place because I guess a part of me has recognized that that's not okay. Even with people in ministry, one of the things I've done is when I see somebody sharing good news, I always share that good news with others. You know, I reshare, I retweet it. It's a way that I've been trying to work past that envy, that jealousy, which I thought was jealousy, but to try to work by it is by sharing their good news with other people and not just delete it and, you know, being nasty about it. Just praying, like, Lord, I feel like in this moment that this feeling isn't okay. I shouldn't be sad that they're getting this great opportunity. There's a couple of things that Jeff Cavins said that really are helpful. I think they're helpful for me, and I hope that they're going to be helpful for somebody out there listening. First of all, he called envy a struggle of the heart. Now, that made sense to me because my heart truly aches. Like, I can feel that tug at somebody else's good fortune. And the other thing he talked about was, you know, ways to combat that through covering it in prayer. And the second thing was to look at your own blessings, to have this attitude of gratitude, to say, okay, just because God is giving to somebody else doesn't mean he's not giving to me. And he shared this story. He shared the story that I want to share with you about an angel that appeared to a man and said, the Lord wants to bless you. And for whatever you ask, he will then give double to your brother. This man was so racked with indecision and envy that his brother was going to be doubly blessed than he was. He spent all night thinking about what he could ask for. Like if he asked for $1 million, his brother would get two. If he asked for a car and a home, his brother would get two. And he could not live with his brother being blessed in that way. So the next morning, the angel reappeared, and this man said to him, I know what I want. I want one of my eyes gorged out. Which, of course, meant his brother would lose both. This is what envy looks like in our hearts. We need to remove it through prayer, through God's grace. You know, I immediately, after that session was over, went and did an examination of conscience. I looked at all the places. I looked at all those places and I made a list of the people that I felt this feeling towards. And at the same time, I also looked at the things that God had done for me, the opportunities he has graciously provided for me, my own inclusion in people's books, this radio show, my appearance on Catholic TV in the Blink series that I was able to do back in June. Those are pretty amazing blessings. And at the core of it, I had to understand that God can bless all of us. That just because he's giving a blessing to one person doesn't mean that he's taking away a blessing for me. It's not like he's not God enough to bless both of us equally. I learned a lot this weekend at the Defending the Faith conference at Franciscan University. My most important lesson was that even though I thought what I was dealing with was the sin of jealousy, and I hadn't really thought it was that big of a deal, I mean, I knew it was okay, it wasn't okay, but I didn't realize really what I was dealing with was envy. That idea that when I hear good news about somebody, in my case, people who are in ministry as well, when I hear about them getting opportunities, instead of being my initial reaction of being excited for them, like, oh, that's wonderful. Another opportunity to reach people to talk about how fabulous the Catholic faith is, how awesome our God is. Instead, my initial reaction was that sadness. Like, oh, why you? Why not me? And I'm very grateful that the Lord has helped me, even though that is my initial reaction, the Lord has helped me to work at overcoming it by congratulating that person, by praying and asking for forgiveness in my feelings about that, you know, whatever that person has received, and then being able to now look at my blessings. Like that, in my mind, I thought, well, if they got that blessing, well, then I guess that's blessings used. Like, you know, if they're going to get that opportunity, then there won't be an opportunity left for me. And this is where understanding scripture really plays a pivotal part in our growing in faith. When we read scriptures and understand how God thinks, or at least what we're able to understand of God's thinking process, believe me, I'm not naive enough to think I understand God's thought processes at all. I mean, Isaiah 55 says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. God puts it right there out for us in Isaiah. You're not going to figure it out, peeps. Don't even try. However, in his loving care as daddy, he does make some things clear to us. And as Jesus tells us in the Gospels, a lot of that comes through parables. Not everybody understands the parables, but those who allow the Holy Spirit to guide them, allow God to be part of their lives, he makes that clear to them. And the parable that Jeff Cavins shared during this talk was Matthew 20, 14 through 16. I'm going to paraphrase the beginning of it, the Allison abridged version of it for you. And then I'm going to read something very specific that is in the scriptures. But in Matthew 20, this is the story of a landowner who goes out and to the marketplace and sees men standing around and offers them a job to come work in his field. And some of the people are hired right at the beginning of the day, real early in the day. And then throughout the day, he hires three other sets. So you have people coming in at the beginning of the day, mid-morning, lunchtime-ish, and at the end of the day. So some people put in a 12-hour day, and then the last people hired put in maybe a 2-hour day. And then it's time for them to be paid. And those people hired at the big, and he starts for the people who came in the least, the worked the least amount of hours, and then he works up to the people who had spent the whole day. And so he gives the wage agreed upon by the people who started the day. Now remember, this is the wage they agreed to. 10 denarii or something, I think it is. That was what they agreed to take. And the landowner gives that same amount to the people who had only worked a few hours. And the people who had been there all day start to think, wow, well, if he's going to give them that and we've been here all day, then whew, this is going to be great. We should get, you know, at least 4 times that much. Then he gets to them and he hands them the same amount, the 10 denarii. And they get angry. They're like, what's up with that, dude? Why aren't we getting more? We were here. We worked harder. We worked longer. And the landlord says, isn't that what you agreed to? Have I gypped you of what you agreed to? And they're like, no, but we were here longer. I love what is said straight from the scriptures. Take what belongs to you and go. This is Matthew 20, 14 through 16. Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last, the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous, so that the last will be first and the first will be last? That line, are you envious because I am generous? God is infinite and there's no bounds to him. Yet I put limits on him. I think that if I'm not giving a certain opportunity, then it's a lost opportunity. There's no way that I'm, you know, going to be able to do something like that, as cool as that, or exciting as that, or, you know, it's lost, it's gone forever. And that's where that sadness comes from. How many times if we saw somebody get a promotion or a nice car or a spouse, you know, they get into a relationship, they get engaged, they get married, and maybe we're not there yet. We're still waiting for that blessing. Somebody has a child and we don't have a child, and we think, you know, that's not fair. How come they get it and I don't get it? Thinking that we put God in that God-sized box again, we put him really tiny and say, well, I can't get it if they're getting it. How is that possible? And listen to what God's saying. I'm generous. My blessings are abundant. We don't have to be sad that God has chosen to bless somebody else. We should rejoice with them, knowing that whatever blessing God has for us, it's still there for us. He's still going to give it to us, whatever that blessing is. And instead of deciding what that blessing should be, letting God be God. Pray, don't worry, be open. God's blessing in my life, my gifts don't take away from another, and vice versa. God is a generous gift giver. Envy is rooted in pride, which I found ironic since I think a lot of my envy comes from my own insecurity. At least I thought it came from my insecurity and not from my pride, but the pride there is that I think I deserve that. That's prideful, thinking whatever they've been giving, I'm just as good to get. You know, I work just as hard, I'm just as smart or just as talented, which not always true. That's prideful. But there is the pride that's acceptable, is accepting that whatever gifts and talents God has given me, those are gift, and I'm to use them to the best of my ability to glorify God with them. And whatever gift he gives me back to use them with, whatever opportunities he gives me to use these gifts with, those are what's intended for me, and it should never take away from what he's given to another. And as I shared, as soon as I finished this hearing Jeff Cavin's talk, I went and I sat with the notes from the talk. I sat with the Bible, and I really thought about what was happening inside me and what were my remedies. How could I start to heal from this? First and foremost was reconciliation. I knew I needed to get over to confession. The sacrament of reconciliation is the sacrament of healing. In this point, I needed a spiritual healing. I needed emotional healing. I needed to change the way I thought, and I can't do that on my own. Only through the grace of God can I make these huge changes in my life and in my heart. So the first thing I needed to do was let God to bring all those feelings to the surface. And I had to think about what was my motive. And I had to admit that my motives for what I did weren't probably as pure as they should have been, that they were self-centered and self-gratifying instead of God-centered and glorifying of Him. It made me think of Ecclesiastes 4:4 that says, wrong motives rob your joy. That's the final thought I want to leave with you today on this, on the topic of envy, is that envy robs us of the joys that God has for us. Instead of looking at our own blessings and having that attitude of gratitude and being joyful in what God has given us, if we're envious, if we're looking at other people's houses and children and spouses and bank accounts and being sad they have it and we don't, then we're being robbed of the joy that God has for us. So I brought it to confession. I'm going to continue to ask God's grace upon it, knowing that this is something I'm probably going to struggle with for a while. But He did allow me this moment of grace to see that I was on the right track. The very last thing they do at the conference is they announce next year's speakers. And one of the speakers happens to be one of those people that I see in ministry that I was so envious of, unconsciously envious of. I realized that I didn't follow her work on her blog. I didn't read her book. I promoted it, but I really and secretly was very sad that she, you know, was once again getting, you know, elevated as the it girl, and I was still struggling to be noticed. And that was the, you know, and she had been one of the people that I absolutely did not know she was coming, by the way, but I absolutely had prayed, because I know that she's a phenomenal wife, mother. She struggles just like the rest of us. She's down to earth. And I had just unjustly and wrongly elevated her and dismissed her. And here we are, you know, hearing the words of who's going to be speaking next year, and her name comes up. And I have instant joy and excitement in my heart that she has been chosen, that I get to meet her, God willing, that I'll be there next year and get to meet her in person. And it wasn't until I was, you know, on the airplane home and it was quiet and I was listening to, you know, Christian music. I love JetBlue. Love that Sirius XM radio that I can listen to the message on there and just relax and listen to the music. It wasn't until that moment that I realized, oh my gosh, for once my reaction to somebody else's blessing wasn't sadness. I'm going to have to keep fighting. I'm going to have to keep bringing that to the forefront, asking God's blessing and grace upon it. But I love, absolutely love, when God gives you those moments of grace where you see, but you're going to be okay. God has heard your pleas to be healed, and He's working in your heart. So you have allowed, you've opened up your heart, and He's working in it. What a grace. I pray that you've been encouraged by this talk today on envy. Let's talk about this. Let's talk where your heart is at. Where do you need God's healing? How can we help you? You know, how can I pray for you? You know, whatever it is that's keeping you from feeling the joy that God has for you. Send me a message, info@reconciletoyou.com. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Let's be community together. Can't do this alone. We just absolutely cannot do this alone.
This has been Catholic 24/7 in Half the Time with host Allison Gingras. For more information, visit ReconciledToYou.com or email info@reconciledtoyou.com. Thank you for listening, and may you always receive God's many blessings.